All right, let's do this as we launch another week of the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass, and Ray and I welcome you to this program, the first Monday of November, November the 2nd, 2015. Hope you had a great weekend. Looking forward to a very productive week. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got our podcasts on my website and all of our archive as we push toward now almost 5 years for this project. So we've got most of the shows that we've done over that five-year period available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Monday, we get things rolling with political talk, our Monday political face-off with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, then half past the hour, our monthly conversation with former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. He always has some great insight on the international scene, what's going on foreign affairs. Our live line number, 790-2040. The Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we're trying to do the Twitter thing now at buckmastershow.com. And every Monday we do kick things off with the face-off, which is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Seated to the left of me, Paul Eckerstrom is here. Paul is the former chair of not only the local Pima County Democratic Party, he was the state chair as well. And Bruce Ash is here, Mr. Ash to the right of me, now in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Gentlemen, how are you? How was the weekend?
Well, besides the U of A football game, everything was great. It was a beautiful weekend, yeah, weather-wise.
Pretty challenged, aren't they, with the remaining schedule that they have. Going to SC, Bruce, this weekend will certainly not be easy. And again, it's another weird late start time, of course, for TV. So starting, I think, at 8:30, by the time the game's over, it's about midnight.
Well, I was watching, 14 innings of Royals Mets baseball last week, and 12 innings last night. You know, most people, if it's a good sporting event, they're not afraid to stay up late. I know the folks in New York City weren't very happy with the outcome, but I don't think I've ever seen a team in recent years who were as much gamers as those guys are at the Kansas City Royals. It was just so much fun to watch the World Series this year.
Yeah, they play every aspect of the game really well. Mm. That's what's neat about them.
Do you follow baseball, Bruce? I don't.
Oh, I'm a huge baseball fan.
Me too.
I'm a Dodger fan.
Okay.
See, Bruce and I agree on things.
Yeah. Yeah, you two agreeing on baseball. And as I wrote in Facebook over the weekend, that we have 6 months here of summer, and we have now changed. We are now into the cool season. We have two seasons, hot and cool. So now we have cool. It was a really beautiful weekend, wasn't it, Bruce and Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. I loved it.
So there can be some changes with the Republican debates. How many are left, first of all, Bruce? How many presidential debates?
There's six, I think, that still remain to be heard. The next one's in Wisconsin soon. Probably the most exciting thing that I think will change the shape of debates going forward into future presidential cycles is the Republican National Committee will be doing a joint debate with Bloomberg and with the Washington Times, where it's not going to be moderator driven. It will be viewer, listener, participant driven. Mm. We're really looking forward to it. We will own the rights to that broadcast be airing it all over the world. Some of the unfortunate problems that happened with the CNBC debate I think have solidified our desire as a national political party to take greater control of these debates. There was a very clear agreement with CNBC and with NBC that the questions being asked were not going to be gotcha questions. More importantly, the agreement was it was going to be about the economy and business and how to move from here to there. And this is something that for everybody who's a salary earner or a wage earner here in this country, they want to know where Republicans stand on this. And John Harwood, he completely lost control of the debate. And kudos to our guys. They stood up to him and to that rhetoric, and they held their own. And I thought the best line of the night was Marco Rubio, who described the mainstream media as being the new Democratic Party super PAC, because they are.
Paul? I disagree with that. I mean, look, I don't disagree with a lot of the presidential candidates on both sides, frankly, who especially the Republicans were making, I think, fair criticisms. One, you had three moderators. Why you have three moderators?
That doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
And two max.
And two, why don't they have more strict rules about candidates jumping in? There was too many candidates trying to hog the time rather than having specific times for everybody. And I think a question should be asked of all of them. And then everybody gets to answer that question. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was that should be done. And, you know, on the Democratic side, in the Democratic debate, I thought some of the questions, like Anderson Cooper phrased certain questions towards Hillary Clinton and towards Bernie Sanders in a very negative way. You know, just ask the question on a particular policy or issue and just let the stars of the show should be the presidential candidates,
right.
Not the moderators.
Yeah, that I agree with. And all too often, what we find is the moderator or the you know chief interrogator decides that he or she wants to be the star of the show.
Right.
And from our standpoint at the national party level, we want to make sure that everybody has a chance to vet the candidates. Now, in spite of some of the problems we've just been talking about, that vetting process is going on. You know, if you remember at this time 4 years ago, do you remember who the leading candidate was for the Republican?
I don't know if Herman Cain was still there or not.
Herman Cain.
Yeah.
Really?
And the month before that, it was Rick Perry. And the month after Herman Cain, it was Newt Gingrich.
Yep.
There's already beginning to be some sliding. The demeanor of Donald Trump the other night was entirely different from what we've seen before. Carly Fiorina really didn't shine as she did before. Jeb Bush continues to, in some respects, to some people's estimation, underperform, and he's having some real issues within his campaign. But there is lots of debate that's going on, meaningful debate, really about the issues. Paul, I've watched the Democratic debate. Mm-hmm. There was not really significant debate between the candidates. There was extraordinary amount of deferential treatment by the other candidates to Hillary Clinton. I don't know what that is all about. It ought to be about the issues. They ought to feel free and unconstrained to have an open debate. That's what people do when they're trying to vet a candidate. And, you know, that's going to lead to problems because they're going to be unprepared for the presidential debates when they come up. They're going to be unprepared, whoever the nominee is. And I suspect it's going to be Hillary Clinton, unless she's indicted for something. You know, she's going to be the nominee.
Okay. I'm going to jump in here now because I'm losing time, I guess. But I disagree with him about the Democratic debate. And frankly, I think the Republican debates have had, like this last one, actually, there was a lot of substance to the answers.
There's meat on the bone.
This last debate specifically, there wasn't as much throwing mud at each other, and there was more substantive answers, although there was the problem with the moderators, I felt. I thought the one Democratic debate, and we'll see as we go forward, I thought was very substantive as well. There may have been a little bit more agreement among the candidates than maybe on the Republican side on the issues. But, I thought the discussion of the issues was very good and was there. And there was no mudslinging there, which I think is a good thing. I don't like it when there's personality attacks on each other. I want to hear about what they're going to do in the economy, in the foreign policy field, and on the actual policies.
Bernie Sanders didn't want to even talk about the Hillary Clinton email problem.
Well, of course not. I think that's not an issue. It's a dumb issue. It doesn't address people's problems out there. All it does is it's the Republicans' way of trying to take down the front runner of the Democrats, and it's a non-issue, and I think that's what's going to happen. And okay. Hillary's going to survive this and be the nominee and be the president.
Listeners to the show, just recall fondly words of Paul Eckerstrom here.
All right. It's 12:14. Ray, I want to work one of these calls in before we take the break. So let's go to Gary first. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering why they have not considered an entity like C-SPAN, who have proved themselves to be just neutral moderators, in having them to do some of these debates, because they seem to be the best equipped at just keeping neutral and having control over such avenues.
Okay. Thank you, Gary.
I don't disagree with that, but the problem with C-SPAN is it doesn't have the reach in terms of viewership. If they took a C-SPAN interviewer and put them as a moderator on NBC or CBS or one of these larger entities that get bigger reach, I'm all for it. I grew up in the era of presidential debates when I was growing up in the 70s and the 80s. I saw those. They would have a moderator who was from like CBS Evening News or something like that, who just asked questions about policy. And then the candidates answered. I think that's the way it should work.
Old school.
Old school, yeah.
Bruce, quickly on C-SPAN before I take a break.
C-SPAN's a great resource, but there's no neutrality. This is the most important office in the world that's being contested. And no matter who is running the debate, there will be an angle. There will be some sort of an edge to questions that are asked. It's human nature.
All right, I'm going to bring Carl in real quickly because I want to change topics after the break. So, and I think Carl wants to talk about the debate. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah. Okay. I'm an independent who was formerly a Republican. Why is it that the Republican Party allows the Democrats to moderate their debates? The Democrats would never allow somebody from Fox News to moderate a Democratic debate. So why do Republicans keep rolling over and letting the liberals moderate their own debates?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. And for the first time in the history of these primary debates, we've actually had veto power on correspondents who'd be asking questions. We can't select. We can't say that, you know, we want Joe or Sue asking the questions, but we do have veto power. Unfortunately, in the case with the CNBC debate, it was a decision made at the NBC News level, far above the pay grades of any of the three who were asking questions, that they were going to depart from the format that had been agreed upon. And that's why NBC has been dropped from any future debates in this cycle and perhaps in others to come. Thanks for your question. It's a good question.
I would disagree that the moderators at CNBC were necessarily liberal or Democrats. They aren't. I mean, they're embedded with Wall Street more than anybody else out there. And so I don't think that really
John
is the
Harwood.
Case.
John Harwood was a absolutely awful pick.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, Ray. Let's break, and then we will be back on the Face Off. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This is the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and Moe's also on Facebook, moesgallery.com on the web. Well, the big story Friday and then over the weekend, the governor, Doug Ducey, he sent out a news release saying that he's very excited about what he calls the high-impact education funding bill is the biggest funding bill for education in our state's history. Paul Eckerstrom, what do you think of the bill?
Well, I think it's a terrible, terrible piece of legislation. Frankly, this is trying to fund what was supposed to be funded anyway from our 2000 initiative, where there was inflation indexing. As inflation increased, the funding for education had to increase by the voters' approval in 2000. And there was a lawsuit that was filed by some school districts and basically said they're not funding it. They haven't funded it since 2009. And there was a $1.3 billion backlog, as well as $330 million a year that should have gone to all the school districts in Arizona. And a trial court judge already ruled that they the state owes that money. And this settlement, I think, is horrible because there's enough money in the surplus to pay for this. And even Jeff DeWitt, the Republican state treasurer, said right. that this deal is a very bad deal because it depletes the state public lands trust fund, which is already the education community's money. And if you deplete the trust fund, that thing will go away forever then at some point. And that was part of our state constitution in 1912, that land was supposed to be used to help fund education. But if you deplete the trust fund, the principal goes away and you no longer have it.
Democrats, do you think they'll back this? Because voters are going to have to vote on this in a special election.
And I know the voters may very well pass it just because it's for education. Yeah. And the educators who had brought the lawsuit crumbled under this settlement because they're so desperate for money because they've been And let me make this very clear. This is only a slight drop in the bucket compared to the cuts that schools have taken over the last decade in this state. And it's not going to solve the problem. And there's all sorts of triggers that say that the inflation rate that's supposed to be funded will discontinue. And one of those triggers are when the state public lands trust fund gets too low, it triggers it so that the state legislature no longer has to fund in the inflation rate for increased costs to the schools.
So you say it's a bad deal. Bruce bad Ash, deal. A good deal?
Well, in some respects, it's a very good deal because it resolves an argument that's been going on here in this state now for the last few years. I think in the long run, I would tend to agree with Paul, there are some self-limiting aspects of the settlement, which should be troublesome. Hopefully, what ends up happening is a recognition within the educational community of how things need to and should be done differently, how educational services must be delivered to the classroom, a sense of competition. I know Paul sometimes doesn't like to hear about charter schools or vouchers and so on, but it is part of the free market system. Education really can't be separated from the free market system. And really, Paul, whether you want to admit it or not, it is. Education is a part of the free market system because parents in droves here in the Tucson Unified School District have taken their kids out of public schools and have shifted them over into charter schools and into private education, not because they wanted to. I mean, my parents, really wanted us to be in public school in our neighborhood public school with our neighbors and, all the kids that we grew up with. It's a hard thing for parents to make that sort of a decision. But the state of particularly TUSD in many different neighborhoods is such where parents just felt that they have to take their kids elsewhere.
It's happening all over the state. And let me tell you.
All over the country.
Let me tell you. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You defund the public schools to the point where we're the worst in the country by states. And you starve those public schools to the point where they can't give a good education to your kids. You're going to be desperate to send them to any other alternative. That's what the Republicans wanted. They've been doing this for 30 years and defunding these schools. And the fact is that this deal actually takes money from the schools and then uses it to pay back the schools on something they were already owed. It is a fraud and it's a shell game on the parents and the kids of this state.
It's a scam.
It's a scam. I was a fraud prosecutor for a while. This is a typical shell game scam, and I find it abhorrent that the litigants in this case caved in on this settlement, because I'll tell you what, I don't care what appellate court would hear this, they would never go against that state initiative. There's nothing in that state initiative that passed in 2000 that was wrong. Indexing to inflation is something that's been happening in state statutes for years. There was nothing illegal about what happened, and I don't think the trial court would have been overruled. And that's my problem with it, is why are we allowing ourselves to be scammed by a fraudulent shell game by politicians?
Paul, the litigants in this court action were the ones that have made the settlement.
I know. They caved. And they should not have caved.
And they're your friends. You take a radical agenda where if there's 2 cents left over in a surplus, you want to use it all for nothing else but education.
2 cents. This money when you was owed in the first place, Bruce, and they stopped funding the inflation index. And Jeff DeWitt, your Republican treasurer, says this is a scam and we shouldn't do this. And a former treasurer, Dean Martin, another Republican, testified to the same thing, that this is a scam, we shouldn't do it.
Bruce's turn.
Paul, when you go back a number of decades and you look at all of the requirements that state government have to fund, education has always been, unfortunately, here in this state and elsewhere, a stepchild to other parts of the budget.
It shouldn't be. It should be number one priority.
Well, the fact of the matter is that, and you called it, the voters in this state, when this comes up for a referendum vote, and I assume
May of next year,
2016. Okay.
They're gonna vote in favor of this settlement, mm-hmm. because they are not in favor of higher taxes being placed upon them, on their property taxes, funding schools for services that aren't being delivered properly. This is a time for the education community to regroup and to re-strategize how educational services are delivered, not just here in Arizona but across the country.
High time
for that, as opposed to just throwing more money. And
we're not throwing more money.
This
is the lowest funded state among all the states in the United States on funding per pupil funding.
I know, you've said that about 3,000 times.
We've had cut after cut since 1991, and I'll guarantee you this surplus that they preserved because of this settlement, mm-hmm. they're going to use it for another tax cut to wealthy people, because Doug Ducey promised in his governorship race that he was going to give a tax cut every year of his governorship. And that's what that surplus is going to go for. It's not going to go for other spending in the state legislature.
So you're saying he's wrangling to get another tax cut.
Absolutely. That's what this is about.
And Paul, like most Democrats, fails to admit that oftentimes tax decreases, graduate tax decreases lead to more money that comes into the treasury.
And it hasn't worked. For 30 years, it hasn't worked.
Paul. We'll continue the discussion at another time on Facebook. Thank you very much, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. I hope both of you have a great week.
Yep, thanks.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're very conveniently located with their Midtown location at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook, Moe's Gallery, for all of your fine framing needs. We'll be right back with General Wickham.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on a glorious Monday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. My favorite time of year. As I said at the beginning of the show, Ray Allen, that we begin with 6 months where we have the hot season, and now we are beginning the cool season, and I prefer this particular 6 months. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, who was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. General Wickham was also Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served over 40 years in the Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, and we are always honored to have him monthly, usually the first Monday of the month, right here on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and wonderful to be on your great program.
Thank you very much. A story that hasn't gotten a lot of media attention in this country, but the BBC has been all over this, and that is this really historic restoration of ties between Japan, China, and South Korea. Your comment on that, please, sir.
You're exactly right, Bill. That's a remarkable development. And Park Geun-hye, the woman president of South Korea, whom we know, she was acting first lady when I served over there, and my wife Ann knew her reasonably well. Remarkable woman. She's a great leader. And she's the one who is pushing this development to have closer relations with Japan and also with China, better economic relationships, and also to deal with this lingering problem of the comfort women that the Japanese used in World War II as prostitutes with their military units. And many of these women are still alive and trying to put that to rest. Well, I think it's a tribute to leadership, female leadership in particular.
790-2040. There's always a lot of interest when General Wickham is on the show. If you have any questions or comments for the General, now is your time to give us a call. While we are still in that part of the world, in Asia, this dust-up, General Wickham, between the military of China and the United States over that man-made island that China has created, was this kind of blown out of proportion, or was it as serious as we have been led to believe?
It can get serious, Bill. The Paracel Islands and the Spratly Islands off the coast of Philippines and the China, part of those islands come within the 200-mile, what the United Nations has approved, a 200-mile sea of influence around nations. So China feels it's perfectly legitimate, legally, for them to do something with part of those islands. And so what they're doing is building them up, making them into bases that might be used in the future. It's a national thing. There's a nationalist spirit going on in China, which moves them to do these kind of things. But the United States, of course, is going to exercise its rights of freedom of navigation, and that's going to create some difficulties with China. But we need to do that. We need to work out closer relationships, and if there are difficulties, then sit down and talk about them.
Well, one area of the world, of course, you're an expert on, North Korea. What is this about? They're thinking of another one of these nuclear tests over there?
They are, Bill, and not sure when, but as your listeners may know and as you know, testing a nuclear weapon becomes essential to prove that it has a yield that is expected and that everything works. Nuclear weapons are rather complicated to build and to set off, and we have not set off any nuclear weapons for decades, and we don't intend to anymore, because you can do a lot of it in simulation on computers. But a novice country like North Korea occasionally would have to set one off to prove that the thing works. So, and also to demonstrate we're pay attention to us. So it's troublesome. We've got to sit down someday soon, and begin these six-party negotiations with North Korea on the nuclear issue.
Well, I worry, and I think I'm not alone, General Wickham, that North Korea could start selling some of their inventory to Islamic State.
Amen. They could, and they could sell the technology as well as the materials. And there's some evidence that they sold some capability to Syria years ago. And Israel went in and bombed that facility and destroyed it before it ever became operative as a nuclear plant that could produce some fissionable material for weapons. So you're right, exactly right. And North Korea has done some of this with Myanmar, former Burma, in Southeast Asia. So yes, North Korea is a troublesome nation in that regard. But look at Pakistan. Pakistan is making nuclear weapons and continues to do that, and troublesome because they're making a lot of small-yield tactical weapons, which are easy for terrorists to grab hold of and use. So we're trying to negotiate with them to stop that practice, but I don't see it happening because the Pakistanis are still worried about India and potential war with India. So they use this as deterrent.
Well, there is so much concern, too, over keeping American military forces over in Afghanistan. I know that some of the tours have been extended, correct, General Wickham? And
that's right.
We are keeping the so-called boots on the ground longer in Afghanistan. What are some of your feelings about this, sir?
Well, one could argue that we got out of Iraq too soon, and we probably did. On the other hand, the situation with Iraq, the Iraqis wanted us out, and they refused to sign a status of forces agreement which would protect our troops from their legal system. So we had no choice but to leave. But Iraq and Afghanistan are quite different. In Afghanistan, now you have a very responsible leadership, elected President Ghani, educated in the United States. We work with him very effectively. And also, the Taliban are at some point now appear to be willing to negotiate some kind of ceasefire and settlement of the situation in Afghanistan. But it's important for us to maintain some contact there to prove to the Afghan government and the people and the regional partners there that the United States still has an interest in stability in that part of the world. So we are going to leave some troops there, a few thousand. It's not a big deal, but it's important, I think, for the security of the United States.
And how about special forces being sent in to kind of keep an eye and monitor the situation in Syria? Good move?
It's a tactical move, a symbolic move. 50 or less special forces won't have really any significant influence, although they can be very helpful in targeting drones. Some of our drones are returning to their bases with ordnance. They haven't been able to fire their ordnance because they couldn't find a target. So if we can have special forces people or others on the ground that can identify targets and guide in these drones, that can be more helpful in killing ISIS and trying to deal with them. But 50 special forces, no big deal. But it does send a symbolic signal to Russia and other partners in the Middle East that we have a stake in the outcome in the situation in Syria, and we're going to stick it out because of that stake.
All right, it's exactly 12:45. General John Wickham is with us on the live line, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, General Wickham would be happy to speak with you. He will be with us for another segment. We're going to take another break here on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, and it is KVOI AM 1030, back right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement.
Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are visiting with General John Wickham at 12:50 on this Monday afternoon. General, what are we going to do about the Department of Defense authorization bill? Where does that stand right now?
Well, as you know, the president vetoed that bill. The authorization bill is not an important bill in terms of getting programs. The programs have to come forward in next bill, which is an appropriation bill, and that's where money is devoted to specific projects. But I think that's all been overtaken by the fact that the two-year agreement now that President has signed funding the government, including a debt ceiling raising, takes care pretty much of funding the government and eventually will lead now to appropriation bills coming forward on specific defense projects. So I think it's an encouraging development that Congress has been able to make some agreement. This two-year agreement also eliminated the onerous sequestration situation that Congress imposed years ago. They never intended that sequestration would take effect. They thought that would be a sort of a sword of Damocles hanging over your head and forcing the government to make the proper decisions. But the government didn't. And so sequestration came into being, and it led to arbitrary cuts in every single program, domestic and military, whether it made sense or not. Now, those sequestration is gone. And so I think that is a prudent move. So I'm optimistic about the future. I think we're going to see some improvements. However, we're still going to have small military. The Army, for example, is less than half of the size of the Army when I was chief of staff. I don't know what the right size is, but it doesn't need to be big the way it used to be. But it probably needs to be bigger than what it is.
How about equipment? We have not been funding equipment like we should, have we?
That's right, Bill. You're exactly right. We've got to push on technology. That has been our biggest edge in the world. Fortunately, we have in Tucson one of the most enabling and far-sighted companies, Raytheon, with their technology. And they've worked with other countries, Israel, for example, on the dome that Israel has to stop missiles. So, yes, we have to push technology. And we've got to eventually replace the Warthog, the aircraft we have here at station in Davis-Monthan. It's a good close air support weapon, but the technology is 45 years old, and we need to replace that. The Air Force wants to get newer aircraft to replace that. And we can do it. We have that technology. But we have to invest. We've got to invest in ships and also in vehicles for the military to capitalize on technology.
One thing I worry about, and I don't think I'm alone, is cyber warfare.
Oh, you're exactly right. And it could be a devastating thing. The ability, we do it. We have the capability. As a matter of fact, years ago, working with Israel, I'm not on sensitive ground here, but it's all in the public domain. But we were able with Israel to get into Iran's nuclear power plants, electronics, and shut down their electronics. The danger could have been that one of those nuclear power plants could have blown up because of what happened, like Chernobyl. So we do have that capability, and other countries do have that capability to get into our electronics. It can be done simply by a thumb drive. It sticks in a computer. And as a result of thumb drive problems, no longer will the people in our government accept thumb drive gifts as they travel around and go to various expositions, because these thumb drives can have malware in them that can do damage to computers. But you're exactly right. Cyber warfare could be devastating. It can get into our financial system, into aviation control, and could shut down aircraft, ability to move aircraft, shut down our ability to move funds around. So we've got to do a better job of avoiding cyber war.
Sergeant Bergdahl is still in custody, isn't he, in detention?
Yes, he is, and you're exactly right. He was a sergeant that some claim he deserted his post in Afghanistan. He did leave. There's some question about whether he intended to come back or whether he did desert. And as a result of that doubt about his leaving, the investigating officers decided that there's not enough evidence here to charge him in a general court-martial, which could put him in prison, even a death sentence possibly. So what they're recommending is that Bergdahl's case be handled by lower courts, a summary court, administrative charges. He could be just discharged with an undesirable discharge, something like that, but no prison time. Unfortunately, what's going on, Senator McCain has entered the network and has said that unless the Army imposes some severe punishment, I'm going to hold hearings by the Senate Armed Services Committee and investigate it. Well, the Army four-star general that has to make the decision about Bergdahl's punishment could very well be moved to another job, four-star job, later on, and he'd have to be confirmed by the Senate Armed Services Committee. So it puts him in sort of a position of jeopardy and influencing, perhaps, his legal decision-making process. And I think, unfortunately, Senator McCain, and the criticism from the legal community supports this, is interfering with the legal process by doing what he's doing.
All right, General Wickham, we're going to wrap it up here with you. And are you still going out on your bicycle and doing, how many miles do you do now there in Oro Valley?
Oh, I try to do at least six a day. I think it's the good Lord enables me to do that as long as I can. It's good for the heart. It's good for I love the environment. And, of course, you know, Arizona's got bike-friendly roads. And one little interesting sideline, you have one of your supporters is RTA, and I was involved in the RTA years ago for 3 years, helping design a program to build roads and all of the safety things. And one of the things were smart traffic lights. We've got a smart traffic light that just was put up by RTA on Rancho Vistoso, And when I get in that left lane to turn left with my bicycle, the software in the road senses the bicycle. It turns the light immediately red and then immediately green.
Wow.
So I don't have to stop the bike. So it's an illustration of what modern technology is coming by and why RTA has really done wonders for America.
Thank you so much, General. Have yourself a great day. Thanks for joining us.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show in this portion of the program presented by the Arts and Recreation, speaking of recreation, oriented community, historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. What a great getaway this is, and especially this time of year. So pleasant over there with that mile high, you know, around 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation. Makes for really mild days, very pleasant, cool nights. Check it out. Many great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat. You can check out the wonderful things to do and places to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We're very excited here at KVOI. We've added another hour of local talk. We're now doing 6 hours, Monday through Friday, of local talk. We've got Mike Shaw with his fine program, 4 to 5 in the afternoon. And then we start with Chris and Joe doing 2 hours, 6 to 8 in the morning with Wake Up Tucson, the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone and a guest host every day from 8 to 9. And then the new show, which debuted today, Sean McCluskey, his program is called Talk of the Town. Then I'm back to anchor it all at 12:04 with the Buckmaster Show. Till then, on behalf of producer Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.